Welcome to the world of senile dementia. Now, everybody knows someone who sailed 21,643 miles, nautical ones at that, which are generally longer, slower, and wetter than normal ones. What's more, approximately 8,967 of them, or thereabouts to the nearest cable, have been offshore, which I presume means you're not aground or tied to a pontoon. And of those, 4,873 have been night miles, which are generally darker. That is, unless you do them in the Arctic summer. And there's a neat dodge in there for anyone who wants to pile on mandatory Mile Munching Association night miles in daylight. And of course, about 3,712 miles have been sailed in a force 7 or above, all of which makes you wonder why. Now, along the way, most sea statisticians have also recorded 283 definitely confirmed sightings of dolphins, although there was that scandal several years ago when it was discovered that a number of cynical fraudsters were passing off harbour porpoises as dolphins. And since then, the Mile Munching Association has tightened up its act, expelled those who did it on porpoise, and amended its constitution to reclassify harbour porpoises as not offshore enough. Now, when I first started sailing, I was in total awe of these milometre mariners as I made my timid first footings across the threshold into the Masonic inner sanctums of sailing clubs to sign leather-bound visitors' books of biblical proportions, wonder at the trophies and half-models, and gape open-mouthed at the faded photographs of capsizing yachts in mountainous seas in the half-light of the mahogany-grained asbestos-panelled members' bar. There, in the gloom, working on my Mile Muncher Association night vision certificate, I'd sit and listen, transfixed, impaled even, to these enthralling monologues of miles. How many Dorado caught? How many near misses with containers, nuclear submarines and icebergs? How many shark attacks, boardings by polar bears and pirates? And how many beads you need to pay a Polynesian to service your outboard? Then there were the even more wondrous soliloquies of solo sailors, who'd not only trumped all of the above, but had done it all in a force 8, heeling unreefed at 83 degrees, while biting on a leather strop and performing DIY appendix operations on themselves, quite often 12 or more. Yet by far the most remarkable statistic is how they all manage to sail so far when they spend so long navigating bar stools. Needless to say, I was intoxicated, and I wanted to be like them. I then applied myself earnestly and spent a great deal of time in yacht club bars, and became even more intoxicated once I found out you can run up tabs the size of ocean mileage is, although these days I find I have to go further afield. Then, when I discovered that visiting yachtsmen were welcome and even tolerated at some places, I bought some pre-faded red trousers to fit in, and bolster myself for the long and lonely, timid, trembling passage across the vast rolling expanse of hostile plush purple carpet with little golden tumbleweed crests that you find in posher clubs. A month in the doldrums passes quicker, but the ordeal's worth it, because at august institutions like the Royal Ocean Offshore Out of Sight of Land Odometer Club in London, where they have real wooden panels as opposed to the provincial asbestos, there's always someone at the bar who's logged truly intergalactic mileages in really, really deep and wavy water, and hooked a thresher shark on a line just to pull a rotten tooth, while sailing naked and alone. Later, you learn that there were actually five people on board, but as none of them were talking, they were all doing it solo. And that actually sounds quite interesting, but you'll never know, as the skipper is a top London lawyer who made all the surviving crew sign gagging orders. In truth, I think his nakedness had made them gag. It was then that I vowed to record in forensic detail every mile I sailed, and bought a Mile Muncher Association cruising logbook, and started to populate it with names of boats I'd sailed. Exotic foreign destinations like Shotley, Ramsgate, and the remote and ancient primitive tribal village of Burnham-on-Crouch. And I collected signatures of skippers like a demented autograph hunter. But the miles totted up tortuously slowly. And when I eventually reached 37, I decided to try negotiation. But most skippers proved unnecessarily inflexible in this matter, although some offered to discuss it at the bar, only to renege later. That was an expensive lesson. But it wasn't just the paucity of the miles, the quality was also disappointing. So I lobbied hard to persuade the skippers that the maximum force 2 in the logbook actually looked more like a 6. Here again, they generally proved uncooperative, although I did manage to get some movement in other areas, as attested by my signed-off logbook, which records that I removed my own appendix 3 times with a plastic spoon in Bradwell Marina. Unfortunately, my logbook got drenched in the top of a force 2 and fell apart, so you'll have to take my word for it. Now, when I bought Marlin, my 18-foot sailfish, back in 2004, I bought a brand new logbook to record my epic passages. And I haven't written a word in it. In truth, I must have done 150,000 miles or more, and at least 7,000 of them have been on the M25. But when it comes to sailing, I simply haven't got a clue. All I know is that I've had a life immeasurably enriched by the sea and the sailor friends I've found around the world. I've seen dolphins too, and you can't put a number on that.